Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about TikTok addiction. We're going to start with what did we learn this week about suppressing memories and why mosquitoes like some people more than others. Then we're going to get into why TikTok is so addictive. Is it more addictive than video games? And are we truly living through an unprecedented time for this specific scary social media? Me saying scary is...
spooky season.
Yeah, honestly. Oh my God, being the TikTok algorithm for Halloween. There's your costume.
Yeah, it's great. I almost
well, it is scary.
Hit record. Like, I almost just stopped recording for some reason.
Why?
No, my brain. I just had like an aneurysm and I almost hit that button, which would have just stopped everything.
I mean, it would have been cool to have us come
TikTok
back.
TikTok algorithm. Yeah, I'm still struggling for a costume and I
think kidney's
as
great.
As per the tradition every year, I keep going, yeah, I'm just not going to do a costume. I'm just not going out.
So Mitch every year says he's not going to go out because the costume's too anxiety ridden for him. Then the day comes and he actually will cry because it's like, obviously it's so fun and people get excited and he starts to panic and then he does cry. So I think kidney's great. I think Zac Efron is great. The little part of the kidney, shout out to last week. And I also think the TikTok algorithm's really funny too.
I'll sit on it. I have this weekend. I have not a lot. Oh, I guess we do have plans this weekend. Damn, I really thought my weekend was empty and I keep forgetting that we have like...
No, we actually have like so many plans. Get a massage. That's where I think of my costume ideas.
No, that is what we are so different. Like in a massage, you're always like, and I'm so productive and it gives me so much time to brainstorm and think. And I'm like, that's where I turn my brain off. And literally, I think about every muscle being massaged and I'm just like thinking about it as
be a muscle. Okay. Oh, you were a muscle last year.
Should I just like pull out that suit again and what else can I call myself?
No. Okay. No, we're going to have amazing Halloween costumes. Just you wait and frickin' see.
Okay.
I'm also going to Screamers tonight and I feel like I'm going to barf because I'm actually so nervous.
I know. So rude. You're doing something like scary fun without me. You always act like you hate being scared and here you are like off gallivanting getting scared.
Okay, I didn't know that's what was going to be cheating for you, but
you're literally cheating on me.
I do hate it. I am actually scared. I feel like I'm going to punch the people in the face, like, because they're like actors or whatever.
I don't know. I've never been. No one's ever invited me.
Oh, that sucks.
No, I like being scared a lot in groups. I think it's so fun. Alone, I don't love.
No. What? Does anyone? Well, that's not
sometimes
fun.
I'll watch scary movies on my own because I'm like pushing that boundary. But then as soon as they're over, I regret it. But like going to a haunted house or like scaring other people or even getting scared around other people is fun to me.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely have never watched a horror movie alone. I realize because
really?
That is actually just like to me, not fun.
Yeah. No, I think it's fun.
Okay. Let's get into
and that's the end of the podcast. Okay.
We're so insecure about our beginnings now.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
So mine was about like new psychological research about suppressing bad memories and how they think that might actually be like an okay thing.
Okay.
Because so often people are told you should rehash it and like go to therapy and really like think about it so that it doesn't like creep. It's kind of spooky vibes, like creep up out of you.
Yeah.
And they're realizing like actually people who have PTSD and depression after traumatic events, when they study their brains, they're people who have a harder time suppressing memories.
Mm.
So it's almost like, wait a second, like people who forget, like you're pretty lucky for this. Cause yeah,
memory disorder.
Yeah. Like people who don't remember things as well, they think could, this is all early research, be less depressed, have less PTSD because they're actually just not remembering whatever the bad memory is. And these people who have these really fine tuned memories are actually maybe having a harder time. Whereas a lot of like quote unquote therapy in the past has been about like sitting down, making sure you go through your trauma, relive it like in safe spaces. And there's just like this kind of switch recently
where it's like people being like, that's maybe, not good.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, a lot of the theories is you do it with like MDMA and stuff and then it's like have it, but like just talking about it, it's like interesting. It's like, or just forget it.
Right. No, that makes sense, especially for extreme situations, like especially for PTSD or depressive stuff, or like, obviously there's like a fine balance between understanding having no memory is not great, but having too strong of a memory is also really harmful.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to harsh events.
And when you think back on those like horrible memories or like awkward memories from like grade 9 and 10, like sometimes I'll like be like, oh, and then I'll just like, yeah, I'll like want to not good. Think about it. Yeah. And then it's like, part of me is like, that's bad, you should address it. But it's like, no, because
well,
now
it
I
is
forget
like,
about it.
Yeah, but just because you tell yourself you should process it doesn't mean you actually will properly process it. Like,
and you might forget about it, if you know what I mean?
Might just leave. Like, yeah, I know. And it's hard because it is like, what's the line of brushing things under the rug versus...
Yeah, that's what their point was, because a lot of people think...
Of like talking to someone through a problem. Yeah. And it also relates to a lot of sleep research. Like they find a lot of people who have PTSD. Like, so the hypothesis is that parts of your dreaming, not necessarily your conscious dreams, but is literally helping to process traumatic events in a way that is safe. And then there's like certain chemicals that make you feel good while you're processing this stuff. So you actually disassociate the really intense emotional feelings from them. But a lot of people who suffer PTSD do not go through those stages of sleep. And as a result, remain triggered from their PTSD.
So much of my dreams... That's not English, right? So many of my dreams. Sorry, I've been doing Duolingo. I'm speaking like I'm Spanish. So mucho of my dreams. So, well, because we're going to Colombia, so many of my dreams have been like in Colombia and like something goes wrong. But then I'm like...
Don't tell me that.
No, but then when I wake up, I am kind of like, oh, cool. That was just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm like, am I processing that? Bad things kind of in a nice
probably,
way.
Probably, yeah. Like it's interesting because when I've read that research, they're obviously sometimes referring to literal dreams, but I think they're also being like, it's not just what you're actually dreaming. It's like your brain going through stuff.
Yeah. That makes
sense. You're not reliving literal experiences, but that's a perfect example
pre-living.
Of preparing for the future and like your body understanding and knowing how to prepare for stuff.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Love dreams.
Whoa. All right. Are you somebody who gets unfairly attacked by mosquitoes? Because I am, and this little boy over here will be like, oh my God, I got 2 bites. And I'll be like, I'm literally covered in thousands.
I actually don't get any bites. It's called my white privilege through and through. I even have mosquito privilege.
So it has nothing to do with that. I mean, there is a mosquito
privilege. No, I didn't say it had to. I'm just saying I have white privilege and mosquito privilege. I got lots of
There is new research that has come out that found a more definitive answer, because they've never really known why. They were like, is it certain blood types? Is it carbon dioxide releasing from people's breath?
I thought like, it was attracts? Like all those things.
So now they have like quantifiable evidence. Basically, they realize, okay, every person has a unique scent of different chemical compounds.
Mine's
right?
Dank.
Yeah, exactly. And they found that mosquitoes are attracted to people who release a lot of carboxylic acids in their skin. And so basically,
okay,
the bad news for people like me is that this never changes through your course of your life with your diet, with whatever. It's just like you have the level of whatever.
You have carboxylic acid skin?
Just like all over me, girl. I can't get rid of it. I can't wash it, although it might help them develop like mosquito repellents for people who have like a higher propensity. But they tested it by literally making people wear nylons on their arms and like legs for like 6 hours. Then they would cut little pieces and put them in a like, you know, tank with mosquitoes and see which ones they'd go to.
The mosquitoes went to the ones that had released a lot of carboxylic acid.
Yeah, they didn't
acid.
Know at first what it was, but it'd be like certain people's would get like all the mosquitoes over to it.
Then they studied
then
that.
They studied it and realized that was the main differentiating factor. So, yeah. And like the idea and the theory behind why, like why the heck would they go after this? This is just a compound in human like oils. It is not in other animals. And so the specific mosquitoes that are tailored to humans, the idea is that they've evolved with humans and this like helps them to like get their source.
Yeah, the number one mammals that mosquitoes want to bite are humans. Like I love that stat. It's it's like they're not going for the cows or whatever. They're literally coming for you.
And it was like part of their hypothesizing or theorizing is that humans often have still water near them, like evolving over time and like collecting water. It's like a perfect symbiotic relationship. Well, not symbiotic, but like for mosquitoes to be like perfect location. Now we might as well like be learning where to find this type of thing.
In the summer, if I ever see still water like near our home, I kick that bucket so fast, like it freaks me out. Still water is scary, but also gorgeous and full of microorganisms.
All right, let's take a break. That's what we do now, right?
Yo.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
I hate TikTok.
No, you don't.
I hate TikTok.
You're obsessed. It's all you do.
It has hijacked my brain. It is extremely dangerous. I have thrown my phone on numerous occasions because I realized like 45 minutes has passed. I thought 5 minutes have passed. I don't remember any of the videos I just watched. It is, I think, going to be in history books, like the time that we were all addicted, like cigarettes, and we could not believe that like it wasn't regulated and that we just like let ourselves like
I do
literally lose
that.
Our brains to
I
this
do,
thing.
I do think you're right. Like, I think it's objectively in the grand scheme unhealthy, but yeah, who could have known like literally 2 years ago that this, it is also just fascinating to see and be part of like this thing that's taken over culture.
I'm so,
you know what I mean?
Because I've done all this research and it's like freaked me out so much. I'm so like,
yeah, but you
I
have
don't
to
even
be honest.
It's fascinating.
It's just interesting from the perspective of some, like a virus spreading. Like
Okay, fine. You know it's COVID. TikTok is a virus.
TikTok is COVID.
Yes.
But so are other social media things.
Yeah.
And platforms. But TikTok obviously has just had this meteoric rise.
Yeah.
Is that makes it so interesting to look at compared to the others.
So it, the study of how TikTok is affecting our brains is understudied compared to Instagram or Facebook because it's literally like so new. Mm. And I always forget that it was musically,
yeah.
Like, and it, only in 2017 did it become TikTok, which is like not that long ago considering how much time I spend on it or like we all spend on it in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
So the science is like lagging.
Yeah.
But they think, but currently TikTok has been downloaded 2 billion times. So like that is a huge chunk of like the human population. Mm-hmm. And it consistently is the most downloaded app, like on the Apple iTunes store.
Makes sense.
Like quarter after quarter. And it's just like actually spreading like a virus. And it's like, I do think it's important to
happen,
think about.
That happens to whatever the hot thing is at the time too. Like that would have been the case for Instagram and for what was that one you were using for a little bit?
Vine?
No, Vine, that newer one where
Snapchat?
You like take a picture.
Oh, Be Real.
Yeah, like I'm sure there was like a spike where suddenly that was like the one that everyone was downloading.
But Be Real but like TikTok, never took over TikTok,
yeah. Oh,
you know,
totally
in its recent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they are trying to study it and it's not coming up good.
I saw a stat on TikTok, so this might be propaganda, but it was,
you can't bring the research from the thing.
No, someone was talking about like numbers that are publicly available. It's like more people are on Instagram, so it's like 1.7 billion, or I'm making that number up, less people on TikTok. But then when you compare the hours consumed, it was like 100 times greater on TikTok because Instagram's also kind of like dying.
It's
like
Instagram,
and half of it is just TikToks at this point.
Yeah, and it's also so scary because it's like Instagram, it's like we're millennials, we lived when it was like, oh my god, I can see a photo from my cousin, like wow. And now it's like I go on this thing, it's like a stranger's dog is literally like petting their newborn. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen
on TikTok.
Yeah, so it's like of course I'm like gonna watch, like the way that it is like designed is insane. And okay, like so these papers are pretty good, but they're super new.
Okay.
And one thing that they say is they're just like, the concept of like Twitter and Instagram in the beginning could end. You could run out of the like essentially people you've subscribed to.
Yeah, you like hit the end of the feed.
Yeah. From the get-go, they're like TikTok is endless.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's never been designed to end.
That has been the way that all social media platforms, YouTube included, if you count that as social media, I'm not sure, but like it used to be like that too. And then they realized, how can we keep people longer? We have to start recommending them videos they would never find, that they don't subscribe to. So it's like, it makes sense that this is the next step for an app to come in being like, we're never just going to show you a feed. Like,
but if you think about that's impact on humans,
yeah, like endless.
It's just like, you think, like, you zoom out as like an alien and you just are like, we're becoming Wally. Like, we're just gonna be like,
100%.
It's so scary
just when it's in your glasses too. And you know, I know this is basic, but that Bo Burnham song, like Welcome to the Internet, is like a really good take on it.
Yeah,
just being like, you can literally watch anything, the most extreme things back to back.
Yeah,
someone dying, someone giving birth, someone laughing so hard, a dog farting, and then somebody like who has a terminal illness, and like you whiplash constantly around like feeling good, feeling sad, feeling outraged, feeling, oh, it's crazy.
So one study, which is from 2018, so it wasn't necessarily linking to TikTok, because in that year TikTok had just started, they had no idea what was coming. But they said limiting social media use to 30 minutes a day significantly decreases feelings of loneliness and depression. And at the time they were like, 30 minutes a day is like where you should cap your social media use pre-TikTok in order to not feel lonely and depressed. And it's like, all that's happened in the 5 years since then is everyone's time on their social media has increased.
30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. I honestly, yesterday was the first day that I like,
I'm sickened by how my phone time. Like, I always think like I'm not that bad, and I actually think I'm not that
bad. No, you are bad, but I'm just worse. No, I think when I talk to friends and family, I'm like, you're bad, and I'm really bad. I think.
Really?
Yeah,
you think
bad?
Well, I'm not talking about like our parents. Like, you mean our, you think?
No, I also think our mom also uses social media a lot too.
But I mean, you think our, I can think of friends that use it less than me, but I can also think of many that use it more than me.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're getting real.
What's your phone time?
I think out of all of our friends, I could be the worst and then you could be the second one.
Oh, that is okay, ball.
Well, I don't know. I'd say the first step's denial. Ball. The first step of addiction is denial. Denial. At least I'm not.
There's no way.
Well, get to what it's actually.
I'm gonna throw out names right now. I'm gonna call out our friends.
Literally, who?
All of them that use Instagram. They're all posting.
No,
all the time.
Mitch, I do feel like TikTok is what has pushed people over the threshold.
Open your phone right now.
I'm not talking about me. I'm saying I'm worse. I'm saying you actually watch TikTok. Our friends.
It's my job, girl.
I'm just saying. This is an episode about TikTok. The people who have subscribed getting into TikTok are now officially on social media more than anyone else.
Because it's
our
like,
friends
it sucks you
aren't
in.
Really on TikTok except for a few. Those are the few who you might be more, but you definitely are on your phone more because of TikTok. And I do think that because I watch the way it takes over our brains and we sit on that couch with the lights off and that little screen on our face and I watch you scroll for hours. Like I watch it happen and it is crazy.
I wouldn't say I scroll for hours, like an hour though, maybe it's happened.
That is insane.
It's bad. Like, no, it's really bad. Like, it's
what
really
I'm
bad.
Saying.
Okay. I just, you know, I'm going to have to go take a survey of our friends because I think I know I do it, but I think a lot of them, I do think people are addicted to Instagram as well. And
but
Twitter.
I don't think it has the ability.
It does. We have our friends who use Reels instead of TikTok and like, you know, I know
you
it's
You think
not
that
TikTok.
There's people who are like captured by Reels in the same way? I don't. I think that algorithm's dank.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
At least my Reels algorithm.
No,
like, I don't care about
I hadn't
football
thought about
highlight.
It, but like, I don't. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to look at my phone after and see how much TikTok I use.
Yeah. Yeah. You like, I mean, can't we do it now?
Well, it's kind of embarrassing. I don't
know.
Oh, really
yeah. He's not willing.
No.
He's not willing.
And you know, like, I don't count in my brain, like, when my phone time says, like, I was using YouTube for some of my time. I don't count that because usually I have it on.
Oh,
while
my God.
No, in my mind, because I'm like, when I'm making breakfast, I just like throw a video on in the background. I'm not watching it. I just am like listening to it. It's like listening to a podcast to me.
What? I didn't That's know you how, did that.
Yeah. Like, most of the things I like listen to are on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, my YouTube time is probably just as much as TikTok. But I'm not, like, sitting down and watching YouTube.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just like, well, if I'm going to be doing stuff, yeah, I'll pick something that, like, I don't really have to watch. But sometimes I want to look at the visuals. But
side note, like, Mitch's morning routine, which I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, because I wake up way before you.
So, for who uses TikTok, I thought this was kind of interesting. A bunch of psychological, actually, like, two psychological studies. They found predominantly it's young people, obviously, which is really funny.
I'm young.
Because like we are the millennials on TikTok. No, yeah, like no, not us. The old ones. It's like 26 and younger. And it's predominantly women so far. This is including Chinese research as well. And it's called something else there. Like I can't
pronounce
it.
The app is called something
else? Yeah, it's like Youdao.
Okay.
And it's like, I really don't know how to pronounce it. I'm embarrassed. But it's not called TikTok.
Okay.
So the big five personality traits, and they use the acronym OCEAN, is people who are open to experience, who are conscientious, extroverted, they have agreeableness and neuroticism.
Mm.
So those were like one...
The high traits of...
Yeah, that rigid. Was found like in China mostly. Then there was an American one that it said that the people on surveys using sort of different metrics, people who like to broadcast information, people who like to receive feedback, people who like to observe opinions from others.
Yeah.
People who like to provide feedback to other people's opinions, and people who compare themselves to others.
Huh.
So that was like another sort of, you know, like I thought those were all interesting things to just kind of be like, do you fall on that?
Yeah.
I know lots of friends who don't use TikTok who I'm like, oh yeah, they don't really, you know, compare themselves to others or definitely don't have neuroticism.
I mean, we are of an age that's just a little out. It's like more interesting to look at young people because... Like all technology, it will always be harder and harder for us to engage with it. Like
because,
in our demographic, right? Like, of course, there's even less people in their 50s and 60s. Like, of course, there are people in those age groups. But people under 26, it's interesting to look at their characteristics because it's like, I think I saw a stat that like 97% of people under 20 are using social media.
Yeah. So this study was saying that young people actually use TikTok as a way to like position themselves in their peer group and understand like, who they are in their peer groups and that they think TikTok like for teenagers and young people in university is like a honestly relevant for how they identify and like formulate their own like self because
the scariest part though is like how much is the app defining who you become as well.
This is why it's scary.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's obviously like a reflective, it's a black mirror. So it's like, of course it's taking data that you're inputting, what you're actually engaging with, but then that cycle of like it learning you and then feeding you things that it knows you will like, it is interesting to think about what that does to even people at our age when you're like, it helps define your personality around something.
Because like back in the day when like Instagram came around for young people, like we'll tell you what that was like. It was like a really gross photo of a muffin you just baked with like a bad border.
My first Instagram picture was my clock. I was like, got a new radio clock.
Yeah. So it just feels like it was less menacing. It was like, I wasn't like your personality wasn't clocks, like
no,
it wasn't your face. Like we didn't even really like start spinning the camera to our face and talking to it for like 2 years.
A lot of times
in.
It was like lattes. It was just people's food and stuff.
Yeah, or it would be like just landed in Sydney, and it's like the airplane wheel. Like it was just like it wasn't even like what you did in Sydney. It was like very like absolutely hideous.
They looked so ugly.
They were
too.
So ugly,
and the filters now. At the time, it was so. Instagram filters were so cool at the time. It felt like adding them on a photo, you were like,
oh my god,
it looks retro. It looks like it's developed on film.
Or like a computer game.
You look at it and you're like, it's so ugly. Like it's the most basic just like filter that you could make in Photoshop.
Yeah, I remember we were like in Istanbul at like the Hagia Sophia, which is like this beautiful, fascinating structure. Like it's like a church that's gone through a variety of different religions.
A mosque, yeah.
Like now it's a mosque, but it was a church. It's so fascinating. And the photo I took and the filters I put, it's like disgusting. I made it look, you can't even like tell where we are. It's like it's like honestly like turned gray and
like
orange
hazy,
and hazy. And I was just like, Hagia Sophia's got me thinking or something. And it's like, oh my god, like that just isn't, that wasn't who I was.
Right.
And it was just like a weird side hustle. It wasn't even, it was nothing. Whereas now I'm like looking down the barrel, I'm talking to it.
It truly is the switch from knowing it will only be your friends watching it to actually strangers could see this.
Yeah.
And I think that has happened in these last four years. Like, of course, if you were making content on YouTube, you understand I'm trying to get strangers to look at this. But now these apps are developed in a way where it's more personal. Like, it's a personal thing. built under the guise of what you share with friends, but then you're actually going, I hope it randomly shows. Because even on Instagram now, like if I go on it, it shows me people that I don't follow all the time. So if I like scroll Instagram, like not the stories at the top or whatever, but so many posts are just like recommended pages. Yeah, and
Instagram
people.
Is such a mess.
It's so bad. And Facebook's even crazier.
Oh my God. I went on Facebook like 3 weeks ago, just once. Like my finger just like did the muscle memory of like Facebook. Like, and it came up and it was like, because like, I guess I hadn't like, been on in so long, like the notifications started coming in and I was like, this is worse than Reddit. I have no idea where my cursor should even go. There's like 48,000 icons.
Yeah, it's like going to a carnival. You're just
it's like going to a slot machine.
Yeah. You're like, ding, ding, ding. You're just like, wait, someone designed this?
It's like a Halloween horror carnival. Yeah. I know. And it's like someone's actually getting up and having a coffee and being like, let's go on Facebook and use this.
I mean, we still have friends that use Facebook, so.
And we also live through the age where that was more our identity.
And there are still things on Facebook that no other platform has really taken. So like
what?
Groups and like events and stuff like that. And even like there's like, you know, what is it called? Like Buns, where people can like trade stuff locally
or Facebook Marketplace.
So that it has some functionality, I get. And I think it's a true place that a lot of people have had like their friend connections, almost like almost literally like the Yellow Pages or like your own phone book. Because you can connect. Like I don't use it like that anymore. And I guess Instagram could be used like that. But TikTok isn't there to like, maybe it is for some people now, actually. I'm like,
what, actually, to update people on your life?
Yeah. Or no, I mean, to be able to contact someone if you need. There was a time when I remember I was like, I don't want to like go to Facebook because if I want to message, you know, someone I did a study abroad for a month and I have some friends who were like in Australia with me.
Like, no, what that
I don't
feels like
have them on any
Instagram
other platform.
Took that over.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, because people.
But not everyone got Instagram because we're old enough that it was kind of like everyone was on Facebook that I'm like, I might not be able to find some of
like
them
my
on
aunt
other
might
platforms.
Not be on Instagram.
Yeah. But I let go of that. But going back to like TikTok and YouTube, I remember YouTube having a conversation at one of their like big events where it was like, you know, to brands and stuff about what the future of YouTube looked like. And they were really focusing on how one day YouTube will like, no, you won't have to click anything.
Yeah, we'll know
it
exactly
will know
what you want to watch.
What you want to watch. And then now in this iteration of social media, I realized TikTok figured that out first. Because it's like YouTube never realized, oh, just put it in front of them. Like, don't even give the option. Like, TikTok's like, no, you're going to open this and a video is going to play.
Yeah, that's so true.
And that was like a crazy switch. And like, oh, yeah, I don't want to make decisions. I don't want to have to look at even like going on Netflix and be like, well, I'm spending an hour looking for something. That's why TikTok is like, just decide. And I'll do a quick switch if I don't want it.
Well, that is so true. I remember that exact moment. Everyone like gasped and like clapped. They're like, oh my God, YouTube's going to know what we want to watch. And exactly, that's what TikTok did. But the creepy part, and like we can get again more into how this is messing with our brains, is that TikTok was like, we're actually going to start with no longer than 60 seconds. Yeah. So these are going to be these dopamine hits
that are going to be bam, bam, bam.
It is so designed to hijack your nervous system. Whereas YouTube was trying to say that and being like, and we'll show you maybe a 20-minute video
like
about how to
get
fix
value
your stove.
From. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Or if you like bird watching, this is like me, it's like a bird watching 20-minute video. Right. But it's like, actually, that is interesting if you are someone who's willing to sit down and kind of like put your phone away and like be entertained. Yeah. But TikTok was like, No. We're going to be on your device and we're going to hijack your brain and things can't be, we'll get to 3 minutes after like a year of hijacking your brain.
Yeah.
And we won't even go over 3 minutes.
And it's like, we're literally all on drugs.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, they're getting used to the dose. We need to like increase the time.
Okay. So this is the parameter. This is the parameters for if you're addicted to TikTok. Okay. One. I can't. This is like freaking me out. And it's why, like, yesterday you might have noticed I didn't have my phone because I was like, oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Last night you were like, yeah. So I went on my phone for like 5 minutes and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I know.
I read this study and it was like freaked out. Okay. So a strong internal drive to use TikTok, coupled with an impaired ability to control your use of TikTok.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it?
No, I'm saying that it's like saying sure is like, yeah, okay, that's them literally ticking the box like you're addicted. Yeah. It's like I have an impaired ability to control my use of TikTok more than any other app.
Yeah.
For sure. Cause at least when I go on Instagram, I'm like, oh, whoops, I forgot this is boring and I close it. Yeah. When I go on TikTok, I'm just like, yeah. Okay. Number two. Increased priority given to using TikTok than other activities. And I'm like, Yeah. Like when I was standing at a coffee shop alone in the past, I'd maybe email. No, I wouldn't email. Sorry. Text a friend, put on a podcast. I'm like, right. I go on TikTok on like mini little breaks yeah. in my day.
Same. Okay, when I have time to kill somewhere, it's like, yeah. Oh, I'll just use TikTok and just like.
Instead of anything yeah. else. Oh, okay. Number three, persistent use of TikTok despite thinking it has harm or adverse consequences on your life. Yes, like oh, no. sometimes I throw my phone because I...
What do we do?
Yeah, I know. Sorry, we're addicted to TikTok. I don't know. I think now we have to figure... That's why we're doing this episode because I'm like, I think we all need to figure this out.
Well, okay, I will say something. Like, this is not my main study, but I did... So, obviously, and we've talked about it in the past, social media use is connected to anxiety and depression. It's still yet to be like correlative. So it's like, are anxious or depressed people more likely to use these apps or does it cause these issues? But there was a really recent interesting study that was like looking at the impact of taking a break from social media. Looking at TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter was the four they were looking at. They forced a group of people to take a break for a week and had a control that just like used it normally. The median age was 29. So it wasn't just like for kids, but it was between 17 to 82 years old, I think. For some people that meant freeing up 9 hours in their week.
Whoa.
And then what they found is it led to significant improvements in well-being, depression, and anxiety.
Wow.
So it's still like, it's difficult to know whether these are causing it or what, but it's obvious, like anecdotally.
At a certain point too, it's like, yeah, like if you want to be less lonely, depressed, and anxious, it makes a lot of sense that you don't go on this weird thing that goes bing and like takes yeah. over your brain and sends you insane stimulus and that isn't a human.
Here's the problem for me is that
I know
so much of it is a waste of time, but there are definitely things I've learned on TikTok. Like, especially when I first started getting really into it, I was like, I actually think I'm learning more on TikTok than any other platform ever has offered me. Like, little house hacks and stuff that I'd be like, oh my God, I actually didn't know that. I'm going to start doing that now.
But how many of those things have you done?
No, it's fair. And in the grand scheme. No, I do a lot of them.
Like what?
I can't think.
But no, I'm just saying.
No, even like workout stuff. Like I feel like I'm not just saying this. It's like, I didn't know our dishwasher could wash wine glasses properly by like lowering. I didn't know like,
okay,
like little, I'm trying to think of like other examples right now, but weird stuff like that.
That's how it hooks you. Cause you probably have one of those for every like 2000 videos you see.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, I didn't realize our microwave, like, it's always been ripping. And then someone was like, it's because there's a lining on it. And everyone was stitching videos being like, no fucking way. My like 30-year-old microwave, you peel it off, it looks perfect.
Wow.
Then I did it to ours. I was like, oh my God.
Those are like, that is part of, you know, like these things have to give you some sort of value or else we just wouldn't want them at all.
Yeah.
Right. Like it is a mix of value and entertainment yes. in a way that's obviously.
And I do think I learn and I hear interesting perspectives. Like you mentioned, like I do enjoy hearing people's takes and or thoughts on the world and those kind of things.
Yeah.
But
you always have.
Yeah. And that's why I like to listen to podcasts and I like to listen to like people dissect. And that's why we like science in the first place. But I have realized in even just like the last month or so being like, as much as I get that feeling, most of it I don't remember. And I know we started this episode saying I maybe have like a bit of a memory disorder.
No, but they've also studied
even
that.
In the moment I'm like, oh, I gotta remember that. I like it and I save it and I'm like, I gotta remember. I'm gonna make that meal one time or I'm gonna like do that exercise. And then I just completely forget it because you see thousands of videos.
That was another study was about like memory and they were comparing it to like different lengths of videos and they were like, if you watch like even just a 22 minute sitcom and then you watch 22 minutes of TikTok videos and then after they ask people about what they just watched the sitcom, they can like explain the plot, they can explain it, and then they'll ask them like literally they'll be like, what did you watch? Name a video, and they won't be able to because it's just too much. And then also it's just not actually impacting you as much as you think. But then there was one study about like science communication on TikTok and being like, is it good? And it was like chemists being like, we have to use TikTok because
well more than ever, aren't they saying that misinformation is spreading so badly on TikTok?
Yeah. So they said that, like,
they
when
studies.
People, well, yeah. What do you mean?
I just hate when people are like, aren't they saying that? And I'm just clarifying they as in research, not just like the news.
Oh yeah. Well, this was called the Chemistry Collective. So okay. It was like a bunch of chemists trying to like use TikTok as science communicators. Know what I found out? Science communicators, us, we partake in the concept of reductionism.
Oh yeah, you tweeted that.
Kind
right?
of like
yeah.
that sounds so bad, and it's like the way they describe it, they're like, it's good,
like
but
you're
I'm like,
a reductionist.
It is. Yeah, so it's like you literally just taking complex principles and making them simple so people understand them. But there's always going to be an issue with that.
Yeah,
like there's always going to be like
what are you sacrificing? Yeah, that's minimizing.
Why they're like you're partaking in reductionism and you're making choices as to what.
Mm-hmm. And
your
you are making
is,
those choices.
Yes.
Which is like, you know, what is the bias that enters at that point?
Exactly. But they were saying that when they made these chemistry videos, which were all chemistry experiments you could do at home, people after watching them said that they had an increased interest in chemistry. So oh, okay. they just like asked these people, and it was like 82% said they were more interested in chemistry.
Right.
And it was like 4.66 out of 5 people said that they thought they learned something new. So they were like, okay, it's not like this just like, people are saying that was dumb.
Right.
But then, yeah, they also were saying they studied the hashtag acne hashtag. And it was
like as in like to look up face care stuff for acne
like
medication.
Yeah, a bunch of dermatologists and scientists looked at I think it was like 1,000 or a certain amount of videos with the hashtag acne. And then by the end of it, using statistics, we're like, we seriously have to understand this misinformation because there was enough problematic stuff being said that dermatologists need to know what these sort of like trends are in order to treat patients properly.
Right.
Like they were just like, it was that bad.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like there's a lot of even fake professionals on these apps or just people who are giving their perspective and not necessarily trying to cause harm, but like as somebody who isn't a scientist or a researcher thinks what happened to them, they understand it, first of all, and that it will work for everyone. And then giving advice that could be dangerous to somebody or not accurate and versus being an actual professional in that field being like, oh, no, but the research shows like most people will have a positive experience this way and that could cause you like damage to your skin.
Yeah.
Just like realizing that you might see someone who has a lot of likes who seems really eloquent and well-spoken, but maybe they're wrong.
And also just people who want to go viral. Just people trying to use the algorithm and
to
like obviously certain more intense or quote-unquote maybe easy hacks to like lose your acne are gonna do well.
I kind of going back to that, you said mostly females on TikTok, right?
Yeah, that was a yeah. It was
what
an older
I will
study,
say but. Between TikTok and Shorts, and I know we're YouTubers, I have recently been using Shorts, and it is disturbing to me, and I've read about this in articles too, how often things pop up that I'm like, I'm really sad this is being shown. It's what? Always like leading to Ben Shapiro videos, which are leading to Jordan Peterson videos. Like to me, I'm like, either the algorithm's stupid or all videos end here, or it'll be like some really conservative person talking about, it was like, some like female podcast host who was like kind of agreeing with all the Andrew Tate stuff. And I was just like, what? Why am I being shown this? First of all,
it's because YouTube's trash. Yeah. We know that.
No, well, it just made me realize I have seen a lot of articles written about how YouTube's algorithm really props up those kind of videos. When I'm on TikTok, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I know it does, but I do not get shown it.
Yeah.
And I feel like on the whole, TikTok is a much more like progressive space. That might be ignorance because it's better at segmenting.
Well, okay. That's the thing. Some people, I could see the argument being like, okay,
like you should
we
be shown.
Understand YouTube enough because we've worked on it for 10 years to be like, it is a manosphere. It is where these like scary white supremacist misogynists thrive. So it's like, I'm like having a different opinion, which is like, YouTube is actually messed. It is a manosphere and their algorithm is made by a bunch of like dudes in Silicon Valley and they've lost control of it. So I do think that is so scary and true. Some people would argue like, isn't it good to see that stuff? I'm like, that is not what YouTube is doing. They're not doing
the
other side. Yeah, no, they're just like actually don't realize that that's who is in control of their content.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think there's something that like with the TikTok algorithm, I could see it's like important to not just constantly be validated with your own stuff.
Yeah.
But I think when we think of people like Andrew Tate and Ben Shapiro and truly the like what I think are so misguided and powerful misogynists that are on YouTube. It's like that to me, there's not even a place for that in society that has like any value, which I think is, you know, like some people would argue, like men towards me being like, no, it does have value. There is certain cherry picked information from what these men are saying that's valid. But I'm like, I have truly sat through and listened to enough Jordan Peterson stuff to be like, no, hun. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so menacing and scary. The Jordan Peterson thing, I'm like, he's sick.
Yeah.
Like, every time I see him, I'm like, this is an evil villain from a Marvel movie who's lost his mind. Like, how are you still trying to...
Anyway, I didn't mean to bring it up like that, but I just noticed, I'm like for myself, I also feel... It's like makes me feel unwell.
Wow,
sometimes
I haven't. I'm
on
be
shorts,
honest.
And it's so, and like going through and seeing cute videos, fun videos, whatever, educational videos, and then it's just like, why is this? Like, it makes me feel really unweird.
Yeah,
like weird.
Mine's only ever been like Jennifer Lawrence's five best falls. Like for some reason, my YouTube shorts is like all you care about is Jennifer Lawrence, and I'm always like, what happened? Like, I know I'm gay, but like not that. I'm not gay like 5 years ago.
All right, my actual final study is about video games versus TikTok. So the study was comparing different kinds of screen time on young people and its impact on cognitive abilities.
Okay.
So they were looking at like not only social media, including TikTok, but TV and video games. Was kind of like anything you're watching, how is it impacting your brain actually?
In my head, TV and video games are like truly novels at this point.
Yeah, at this point, TikTok, it's like so, yeah.
Having if my kid was like, I'm gonna watch a 1 hour TV show, I'd be like, hun, I'll make the popcorn.
You're an intellectual.
You like are actually a French poet.
So they followed almost 10,000 kids for 2 years between the age of 9 and 10. I think by the end of the study, there was like 5 or 6,000 kids left. You know how like a lot of times it drops out.
I don't want to do no more.
So they did their baseline test before and after of psychological cognitive abilities. Controlled for genetics, affluence, all that. So on average, children spent 2.5 hours a day watching TV and 1/2 hour on social media and 1 hour playing video games.
Yeah.
This is a 9 or 10 year old though, okay, right? So social media maybe is not as accessible to that age group.
Fair.
Those who played more video games increased their intelligence by approximately 2.5 IQ points over the average. Those who watch TV or use social media, there was no significant observed effect, positive or negative.
Hmm.
But I thought that was interesting that video games maybe had a place to like challenge your brain
in a
different
kind
of
way. They're at least a game.
And the caveat was they were not discriminating like what kind of video game. It was just like all video games were clumped together.
Yeah.
So obviously there are video games that are just like not.
No, but you are doing like you're actively, it's a game.
Yes. And their sort of like summary was that, hold on, what was it? Oh, it was reinforcing the idea also that intelligence isn't just this constant thing and how your environment can actually impact how smart you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That there's not just this like necessarily innate ability to be smart or dumb.
And I'm just like, there's no way TikTok's ever going to help your intelligence. I really don't think
not
so.
In any deep, meaningful way. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I mean, they're going to have to face that issue at some point though. Like they obviously have put initiatives into like education on their platform. And I think increasing video length was to even encourage like more in-depth videos and stuff.
Oh, things are like, it's kind of interesting to be like a millennial and start to be like, we're not like the young ones anymore. And like, it's so nice because it's like you can hear the sort of like what's the word for like high on your entitlement?
Pretentiousness or
I don't know. It's, those don't seem like the right words. But you can see Gen Z sort of like laughing at millennials.
Oh, okay.
But it's like I've watched so many things come and go. Like TikTok will go.
Yeah,
like TikTok will.
Something
move
will.
On. You will.
Something
look
will
back.
Plant it and be like more exciting, more intense.
And it will be the younger people than you. And you will look back on what you did on TikTok and be embarrassed. Like humor will change.
Right.
Like everyone's obsessed with like being self-aware. That's like the whole thing of being Gen Z. And eventually people are going to be like, that's actually embarrassing because now I'm like banging a robot or like whatever. Like it's just like, I just feel like there is.
Yeah.
It's nice to kind of be older and watch and just be able to look from a distance and be like, this isn't the end of the world. Like,
yeah. And every generation above often looks at the generation below and they're like, you're fucked, you know? Like,
yeah.
But it's like, are they really?
Yeah. And also it's like
maybe
literally Facebook, I went on it the other day and I almost like went cross-eyed and fell over. But I truly would like sit down at a library at my university, upload from a digital camera, like 60 photos of me in like a pink American Apparel V-neck from my night out and like tap like, I'm going to call this one fun night, enter. And like thought, and it was my identity and thought I was super cool. And like truly like looking back on that, I'm like, that's so embarrassing. But at the time,
it like, was just the way it was.
It was just the way it was. And we were making fun of our parents because they weren't
uploading on their Facebook. They just like didn't get it. Yeah. So, and it is, you're right. Like kids are just so adaptable in a way that we've seen, had a longer life. So we've seen more of the world, have more perspective. But to them, this is just what life is.
Yeah.
To use TikTok, to like post on TikTok, to share your life, mm-hmm. to make jokes, to dance to things. Like that's just what they only experience that a lot of young kids know.
Yeah. And they are really funny. I find like Gen Z humor really funny. But then at the same time, there's like a thousand like
and humor,
Gen Z kids doing the weirdest, cringiest things.
Not going viral. You're seeing literally all the cream of the crop kind of thing.
And then you're just like some guy like literally flexing his like ass.
Yeah. And you know what? You forget. It's like, even though I do agree, like Gen Z humor is funny, sometimes you see a video that's so funny from someone and you go to their page and like it's the only viral video and it's like all the other ones you watch and you're like, whoa, this is weird. Like, why did I have like such a different perspective of this person?
Yeah.
So you realize these apps are helping to define that by showing you the things that rise to the top.
Yeah.
But it's like anyone, like even if you're a musician, you can make 10 albums and maybe one's like the good one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I don't know. It's just interesting that now these apps are helping you find good music, but it might just be one song from this artist and then one song from this artist in that way, or like one TikToker doing this. It's interesting when a TikToker can maintain and make so many funny videos.
I remember being
hashtag Brittany Broski.
Yeah, hashtag Brittany Broski, totally. But I remember, and I feel bad because it's like we've also been on YouTube for so long that we've seen the people like Brittany Broski who you think will never do no wrong just disappear. Like it is like it is so hard to keep it up on
social media.
It's
a space that, and everything gets old. Everything. The platform and the people.
Yeah.
And it's just funny because it will happen again. And it'll be interesting at the time to see what replaces it. Because it took a long time for something like this to come along.
Yeah, it did.
Like YouTube, I think, really had a monopoly on video.
And YouTube is sad because YouTube never had the cultural clout that a TikTok immediately got. YouTube was like, we're gonna pay millions of dollars
for
so that Kevin Hart will make a show, and then it's like TikTok comes along and Meryl Streep's just like, get me on it, like for free. Like it just like all of a sudden you're just like, okay, this is the only one Rosie O'Donnell's
like
gonna do.
It is like a hybrid app, you know, like it is a social, like TikTok, or sorry, YouTube is, it's a question whether it is a social media app.
Yeah, and the amount of effort that it takes to make a YouTube video is so high, whereas they're literally like, wait, okay, come here, Jennifer Lopez, okay, you're going to mouth your own song for 15 seconds. And then she's like, oh, and they're like, well, write something on the screen. And she's like, okay, I can do that. Yeah, like it's so
low hanging fruit.
But also, I think it's so addictive that they're also addicted. Like I literally think that
and
Reese
the reach
addicted.
Of it. And they're like, wow, I can actually like build a huge platform here without having to do a lot.
And it is.
But it's like, how fickle is it? That's the question.
Yeah, I think that's what we'll see. And I think it is really fascinating because as much as the science is saying this thing is menacing, this thing is likely, you know, making you depressed, anxious, hijacking your brain, its influence on culture is very big. Like if you care about those things, it's like, I love thinking about the music industry. Like I just love music so much, and its impact on from TikTok is really like unfathomable compared to like
any other
YouTube or something. It's like,
I mean, obviously YouTube had an impact in that making music videos, I think, when YouTube kind of came along became a significantly different thing than when it was just on TV.
Yeah, and people used to think
that
music
is
videos
a cultural difference and a cultural change and significance, but it didn't like feel the way that like TikTok is integrated into culture.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, if you're looking back, it's like, oh my God, when music videos could be accessed at any time, at any place.
Yeah.
Like that was a big deal.
Yeah,
I think
it was. And I think that also there would have been people who were like, music videos are, you know, kitschy and over the top and just a publicity stunt, and like Slave for You by Britney Spears and her being all sexy is like, if the music was good, it would speak for itself. But it's like, no, that's a truly iconic music video. That, you know what I mean? Like it was like, we were young at the time, and we're probably to our parents like, that's not how this works. This is art.
Oh,
Bjork has made the best music videos of all time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's like, we don't question that music videos are like hack.
I haven't watched it yet, but apparently Christina Aguilera just re-released
it's
Beautiful
on YouTube,
or something
trending on YouTube
as like a modern day take on it. I haven't seen it, but I saw people talking about it, so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and I do love watching how TikTok influences music for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. Like, it is, at least just for me, I find it like interesting.
Yeah.
And it is cool when people like Rosalie, who are just talented, like don't have to do anything, and they just go viral. It's like you can see the people who are really talented and the people who are like,
but that's
maybe
still
less
a
talented.
Bit of luck, you know. There's lots of talented people who don't get that luck, and
oh, for sure. But I'm like, I also like looking at it that way. The people who are thirsty for the TikTok, it's so hard because it's like literally Gen Z audiences are so self-aware. That's their thing,
yeah.
So they can see it, and it's interesting to see which of the thirsty ones work and don't work,
right?
And it's just like, it is, for whatever reason that interests me, I think is a bit of schadenfreude. A lot of times it's watching famous people like
we're trying so yeah. hard to be famous,
like Nick yeah. Jonas, like Nick Jonas, like the Jonas Brothers TikTok, where you're just right. like, you're old man, like this is crazy, like right. you are it's thought you were like young hot like 21
and it's not coming from a place, and I'm not even talking about them because I haven't seen it, but like it's not coming from a place of them just kind of being authentically using the app. They're using it because it's like, I've assumed, because they're like, this is how you get people to watch you.
Yeah, for sure. I
whereas
think so.
The people that are most interesting is when you're like, oh, you're talented and you're not trying so hard yeah. to capitalize yeah. on this app, even if it's working for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, that's all of fame in the beginning, like even before yeah. internet, it's like famous people who didn't care as much about fame always had a bit of that like allure to some people, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's like, oh, it's kind of nice that you got all this fame and you're not just like so thirsty.
In my opinion, that's the ultimate. Yeah. That's the people who I look at who are famous and I'm like, namaste. Wow. Okay. Obviously, we're going to be talking about, we're going to have another episode about TikTok in a year. And I hope to God it's like another app or something. But if we're still talking
there
about
there won't
this
be another
year,
app, I don't think, by then.
No.
TikTok is just still on too much of a rise, I think.
Wow.
Maybe there'll be another app, but nothing that replace. Like,
so we have like a whole year of watching TikTok
yeah.
ahead of us.
You don't, like, yeah.
I don't know. Okay, fine. No, you're right. Okay, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Barf. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.